specific areas blessed as we have been here in America. When I think about those founders and how much they gave to preserve and bring this nation about, their faith was founded upon the truth of the Holy Bible. It is a message that we need to be preaching in Washington, D.C. over and over again. The faith of our founders. They sacrificed so much for this great country, and for that we ought to bring remembrance to our children and our grandchildren and every generation that shall yet be born. When I think about people like George Washington and John Adams and Thomas Jefferson and James Madison and James Monroe and John Quincy Adams and Andrew Jackson and Martin Van Buren and William Henry Harrison and John Tyler and James K. Polk and all of those great presidents who served this great and wonderful land that we call America, how could we ever forget? And at that first Continental Congress and when they first met, yet we have people in America today who want to eradicate the Constitution. There have been those who, the years that have burned the Constitution in defiance of this great land and the freedom that we have in America. And there are those who have burned the flag and to our two great symbols, if you will, of our freedom. And they do represent who we are. Abraham Lincoln said, "We the people are the rightful masters of both Congress and the courts, not to overthrow the Constitution, but to overthrow the men who pervert the Constitution." That's why we have to be so careful in our selection of men to serve on the Supreme Court. And I applaud President Trump's selection, Judge Gorsuch, because I believe that he is a true conservative, one who does not legislate from the bench, but one who will uphold the Constitution as it was designed. You see, I still believe that in America, our country is founded upon we, the people. But the liberals in Washington and the liberal news media are seeking to bring our nation down. They continue to bring accusations against our president and to take away the liberties of this nation. The news media talks to us about the president and his lack of support and how unpopular he is according to the polls. But we have been acquainted with their skewed and slanted polls before, when they said he only had 38% popularity before the election. But then, he was elected president by a wide margin, which they still deny. My opinion is that the media can peddle their erroneous lies and their negative dogma to someone other than the American citizen who is reality informed. The American people are not idiots. So thank you, President Trump. Thank you, like our founding fathers, for helping to make America great by giving us a restoration of our religious liberties. Our prayers are with you. And just perhaps you, like another great servant of God, was raised up for such a time as this, Esther chapter 4 and verse 14. We all ought to be endeavoring to make America great again. We ought to be proud to be an American. I told you before that I'm not a Democrat, I'm not a Republican, but I am America, and I want America back, and I'm sure you do. And as far as that's concerned, if our flag offends you, you can call 1-800-LEAVE-THE-USA. Let no one fool you. Our founding fathers understood that there is a powerful connection between faith and freedom. And there is a connection, a strong connection between God and government. And for those who say, "Hey, you can't connect God and government," go back to the founding fathers who believed in God, who understood that the basis for any nation and the establishment of any nation is faith upon Almighty God. That's been our problem for a long, long time in this country, folks, is that we have taken God away. And so I applaud our founding fathers. Some say your religion belongs in your church or in your home, but not in your government. Not for me. No way, Jose. Wasn't Ronald Reagan. passed it through our children in the bloodstream. And it must be fought for, protected, and handed to them to do the same. But when I think about America, and I think about Memorial Day, I not only think about the founders of our country, but I think about the defenders of our nation. You know what? We, for a long time, have been weak in defense. It's true. The armed forces of America have been weaker in recent years than they've ever been before. And I do not say that to the degradation of our United States armed forces. I say it to the degradation of those who have been ruling in Washington, who have let it happen. But I'm thankful that there has been a premium that has been placed even now, once again, on the strength of our nation and the security of our nation, that has come about because people believe in defending this nation that was given by God. That's why I applaud all of the branches of the armed forces of the United States of America. But many of those have come home with silent lips, interred in the graves within the American soil that they loved and honored so much. There should be a time to remember the dead, to remember what they should mean to us every day. That's what Memorial Day is about. Children who lose their parents on the battlefield, who mourn their passing, who will never know what it is like to grow up with a father, perhaps a mother. Jesus said in the book of John 15 and verse 13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. So today and tomorrow, may we remember those who are left behind and those who have gone home. In this congregation through the years, we've had parents that have mourned the passing of their children, their sons and their daughters who died in service to this great country. You see, death leaves a heartache that no one can heal, and it leaves a memory that no one can see. I think about those who are founders of our nation, the defenders of this country, but I think about the defenders of our faith. In Proverbs 10th chapter, verse 7, King Solomon said, the memory of the righteous is a blessing. You know, there have been so many great leaders and servants in this church through the years, and I have been blessed to work with them, to know them, and to love them, and have a tremendous appreciation for what they have meant for the ongoing of this church. I thank God every day for those who have preserved the unity of this congregation when we were going through difficult times. But they stood true to the Word of God. They didn't acquiesce and they didn't give up. They were indeed the defenders of the faith. Now let me tell you something this morning. The living deserve no less thanks than the dead. As a matter of fact, we're challenged to remember the living. For in the 14th chapter of the book of Mark, Jesus unveils for us a great story beginning in verse 3 through verse 9. The Bible says, and being invited into the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman who had an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box, and she poured it on his head, and there were some that had indignation within themselves, and they said, why was this waste of ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence, and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her, and Jesus very quietly said unto them, let her alone. Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? said in this very next verse, he never said about another soul who ever lived on the face of God's green earth. But he did say, verily I say unto you that wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of as a memorial unto her. What prompted Mary to do what she did? Do you know the amount of money that it would cost for that alabaster box of ointment? It's tremendous. It is estimated that it would be a salary for an individual man during that particular time. But she gave it. She, like a poor widow, gave all she had. She gave that alabaster box. What prompted Mary to do what she did? I can tell you what she did it for and why. It was because of her love for Jesus and the forgiveness that he offered to her, as he offers to you and to me. Isn't it better to give roses to the living instead of waiting for them to die? You know, I have preached through the years, as I've mentioned to you before, over 1,600 funerals in the name of God's name. It's amazing. And almost at every one of those funerals, there's a tremendous amalgamation of flowers that are given by people. They adorn this rostrum area. But wouldn't it be better to give those flowers to people while they live? It is true. Someone said, send me all your roses now, air pink, air white, or red. I'd rather have one blossom now than a truckload when I'm dead. You see, here at Crockett Road Church of Christ, we have a memorial service every Sunday. That's what we're doing this morning. We're not gathering here just to have a sermon or just to gather together. But this service is about memory. It's a memorial service. A tribute to our Lord and Savior who died on the cross and gave his life for you and for me. And like that first church in the New Testament, we gather the first day of every week like they did, Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, to be reminded of the dead and also the living. When we observe the Lord's Supper, that's what we're doing. And it was Jesus who taught that as often as you do this, you do it in remembrance of me. Unlike our U.S. Armed Forces for many, many years, God does not draft those into his service. Those who ever became a part of the great army of God became a part on a volunteer basis. They did. And you know what? He invites all of us to enlist. He does. You enlist in the services of God and the great army of our Lord by believing and obeying his gospel and by being baptized, which really is an introduction into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. I hope today and this weekend, and everybody talks about this being a happy Memorial Day. It's not happy for people that have lost loved ones. Not really. It's a sad day. But it's a day for us to be so reminded and to reflect upon those who have given their lives. And I think about our Lord and our Savior. This is a somber moment when we have gathered here in his honor to pay tribute to the Lord that loved us so much that he was willing to die because of those who would follow him. Jesus, in the 18th chapter of the book of Matthew, said, verily I say unto you, as he took that little child and placed him in the midst of those who had gathered there, he said, except you become converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever therefore shall humble himself as them at night. And if as a Christian, if you know that in your heart of hearts you haven't been loyal to the kingdom, you haven't been faithful to God, I hope this morning that you would make the change that needs to be made in your life and realize that with the help of God, life can be better for you, our nation can be better, and the church can be stronger. Let us